The Census Bureau will release an operational plan for the 2020 population count sometime in the next few months. Government Accountability Office experts are warning, though, the Bureau needs to get that strategy right. It's got to avoid many of the mistakes that threatened the 2000 and 2010 decennial counts. Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller joins me now to discuss what the Census Bureau has to do between now and September. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
I seem to remember this for around this time in 2005 and even, I hate to say it, in 1995. So what will this new operational plan address for 2020?
Well, I think you make a good point. I think that's why Congress is holding its hearing now instead of, you know, 2 years from now or 3 years from now. I mean, listen, the census gets it done. That's without a doubt. But they always seem to kind of come up with these huge potholes, these huge obstacles. And I think that's what this operational plan is trying to get in front of, so the census doesn't meet those obstacles, or at least can overcome them more easily than in the past. This operational plan will lay out how the 2020 count will work, from the use of technology to the hiring of enumerators to the field, and then innovations that could save the Bureau up to $5 billion during this population count. John Thompson is the director of the Census Bureau. He was a lead career official in the 2000 count and watched the 2010 effort from the industry perspective. He says Census is better prepared for the 2020 count, and it will be reflected in the September document.
We are putting some things in place to try to minimize the risk, because you can never be sure. So, for example, the document we're producing this fall, we're calling it's actually the 2020 Census Operational Plan. And this will be 3 years earlier than we issued an operational plan for the 2010 census. So we're getting an early start on it. We have in place an active risk management framework and risk management process where we constantly identify major risks, and we constantly look at how we can find contingencies for those risks. And we'd be happy to share that with the committee so you can feel comfortable that we're looking at the right risks.
Now, Thompson says because between now and September, the census will be testing out several concepts that help make up the plan. He says there are four broad categories of innovations that can make a huge difference in how the 2020 count is executed. The first innovation is around actually using the Postal Service and commercially available data, such as geospatial imagery, to better determine addresses, and as well as whether buildings are vacant or whether they've been torn down. In previous population counts, the census would have sent field staff to check out every single address. And now, because of, you know, Google Earth or other satellite imagery, they can maybe do that more quickly, easily, and obviously cheaper. The second innovation is use of the internet to increase response rate. Thompson says, don't worry, the census will still offer phone, paper responses, as well as field staff will go out to those really hard to reach areas. But he thinks offering a web response option could save the census about $550 million during the 2020 count. The third innovation is around making use of existing data. Thompson actually says that's one area where Congress needs to help them. Listen to this exchange between Census Director Thompson and Senator James Lankford, the chairman of the subcommittee that held the hearing on Monday.
There is a data set. It's called the National Database of New Hires, and it's maintained at HHS. It would help us greatly in our program, and we would need some legislative changes to have access to that file.
Okay, what are the data do you need here? Obviously, there's multiple different databases between IRS, Social Security, Department of Labor, HHS has it, you have it. There's lots of data sets around there. I guess the question for me initially would be, which particular data sets you want to be able to use? And the second one is, are any of these agencies charging Commerce to be able to have access to that data?
Thank you. So you've named some of the data sets that we already have access to. We're also in the process of acquiring the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program records, that's state by state, and the Women, Infants, and Children Program records. So we can put these together in a very private way, and we're protecting privacy, and use them and research them as we proceed with the census. We are not being charged by the other agencies for these data sets. In fact, the Secretary of Commerce has great authority to ask for these records in conducting the job of carrying out the census.
Now, the fourth innovation could save more than $2 billion, and that's by bringing better technology to the field. Thompson says this includes using mobile devices and collecting and transmitting data in almost real time.
It's too bad they can't count every head for, say, $2 a head, but I guess not possible. Now, Jason, you've mentioned that the GAO has also weighed in on this thing. What are some of their concerns?
I think mostly around technology and security of the data that flows from this fourth area of innovation. Carol Cha is the director of IT acquisition management issues at GAO. She says a main piece of the operational plan is this agency-wide IT initiative called the Census Enterprise Data Collection Processing Program, or SEDCAP.
Recent estimates put the program's cost at about $548 million through 2020. Given the Bureau's prior and existing challenges, we highlighted SEDCAP as part of a new entry onto this year's GAO high-risk list as one of a handful of major IT investments in need of the most attention. September's decision is expected to drive the business requirements for SEDCAP systems and infrastructure. This milestone, which has already been delayed by a year, cannot afford to slip further. However, as we reported earlier this year, the Bureau had not yet addressed how two critical inputs into this decision would be addressed. These inputs relate to the internet self-response rate and the IT infrastructure security and scalability needs. And if they are not adequately addressed by September, it could lead to system rework downstream, eating into an already narrow schedule margin.
Now, SEDCAP is really a system of systems. It's not just one system, Tom. It focuses on 14 different initiatives, ranging from a dynamic operational control system to that tracks and manages fieldwork, to developing and testing the online response options, to really creating the entire backend infrastructure that all these other efforts will run on. Cha says GAO will initiate a review of Census's progress for planning for SEDCAP later this year. She says the concern is that Census plans on this full-scale testing starting in October 2018. And while that's more than 3 years from today, Cha says it's not a lot of time when you have these hugely complicated IT pieces in place and an historical, let's call it, challenge that Census has faced when putting these big programs together. Instead, she recommends Census should simplify SEDCAP and depend on current and proven technologies. Now, Census Director Thompson agrees with Cha, saying SEDCAP is a high-risk program, but he believes the Bureau has taken steps not to repeat the same mistakes of 2010 when it wasted years and millions of dollars on a failed handheld device. He says that Census is innovating, not inventing technologies.
I can assure you that this is getting full attention from the Department of Commerce. The Department of Commerce CIO is fully engaged with this program and with our CIO on the program. In fact, he's running an independent IVNV, independent verification validation process on the program. So he's taking it very, very seriously too. The whole Department of Commerce has this as one of their priorities.
Now, the second area of concern is cybersecurity, where GAO recommended 115 actions for Census to take starting in January 2013. Cha says the Bureau so far has only addressed about 19 of those 115.
Access controls in particular are of vital importance in strengthening because those regulate who and what is accessing the Bureau systems. And so, you know, as the Bureau is exploring these methods to collect data out in the field, including, you know, using personally owned devices and or government issued devices, it's going to be critical for the Bureau to secure those back end systems to make sure that the information is properly secure. In addition, if they are expanding the use of administrative records, they're also going to have to shore up the controls there to ensure that that information is adequately protected. So addressing our 115 recommendations made is the top priority.
Now, Thompson and Cha agree that the Bureau gave GAO an update on its progress in closing some of those cyber recommendations. In fact, just last Friday. So now GAO will review that update and decide just how many cyber recommendations remain open. Thompson adds that Census is shoring up its network. It is encrypting all the data in rest and in motion. It's scanning internet traffic to ensure no personal information is traveling out of the Census Bureau networks. So let's be clear, Tom. It's not like the Census is not doing anything. It is making progress. In fact, I just had Brian McGrath, the Census CIO, on my Ask the CIO show recently, and we did talk plenty about cyber. So listeners can find that interview on federalnewsradio.com. Now, both these challenges, the cyber one as well as the project management one, also are facing another challenge, which is the workforce. She says that those gaps present the biggest challenge for the 2020 count, having the right people to ensure security, having the right project managers. There's one other one out there that's non-technology related that I think we need to consider as well, Tom, that could really affect this 2020 count. John Thompson's term as census director ends in December 2016. Now, at that time, there will be a new president-elect, potentially some kind of changes in Congress. So it's unclear what this means for him, whether he'll get appointed to a second term, whether the new president, the new Congress will bring in a new census director. So really, his focus is over the next 18 or so months. He wants to get as much in place as possible before potentially he has to leave office. And one other side note that's of interest, Robert Goldenkopf, GAO's Director of Strategic Issues, says census reached the halfway point earlier this month in preparing for the 2020 count. So there is this growing sense of urgency as the census moves forward. And I think that's why the hearing was held. And I think that's why GAO wants more answers as this September document gets finalized.
So basically the worst thing that could happen is in 2017, somebody new comes in and decides to make their mark on this and changes everything.
Well, they don't have to change everything. They can just change a few things. But when you're already that far down the road on something and make this operational plan and starts investing in the technologies, and all of a sudden someone comes in and says, let's change this, let's tweak that, that could cause the ripple effect that could cause problems down the road. Absolutely.
Jason Miller is Federal News Radio's executive editor. Thanks for that report.
My pleasure.